The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Interesting. We were talking about this a little bit earlier on. We talked with Marsha Clark, famed attorney, about that case in California, the Stanford rape case, in which the judge in that case, who's obviously come under a lot of criticism for a very light sentence, according to most people who have observed this.
According to some of the jurors, too, who, or one juror in particular who wrote a letter to him.
They light sentenced against the man who was involved in, the young man who was involved in this. And light sentence only with the exception of the kid and his dad were the only two people who thought that the sentence was, oh, that's fine.
Three felonies, 3 months is what he'll ultimately serve.
So but it
a little light.
Brings into focus what can happen here in college. And this is not new. And this isn't even your standard. The details of that particular incident don't even rise to the level of a date rape, right?
Not because at all. She didn't know him. He's just another guest at the same fraternity party that she was at, and he chose to act in the way he did. But there was no relationship at all,
right? There was a limited amount of contact in advance, right?
Exactly.
So. That kind of rises to the level of a stranger rape, but date rape and non-consensual sexual acts in college are, I don't know if they're on the rise, but they are certainly being more reported than they ever have before.
The data is staggering. 1 in 5 women will be the victim of sexual assault or an attempted one while in college. 1 in 5. So think about that.
Dr. Susan Scanlon is joining us, and she does seminars that try to orient families and the kids going to college in terms of this kind of situation and to be aware of things that can go right and can go wrong there, mostly what can go wrong. And Dr. Scanlon, thank you very much for being with us. And does that number seem right to you, high or low?
Thank you for having me on. Actually, that is the statistic. 1 in 5 women will have an attempted or completed sexual assault during their 4 years in college. And that has been a problem for a long period of time. I mean, the Stanford case is awful, and it's great that it's brought so much awareness to this problem. But this problem is common. So as a gynecologist, and you know, gynecologists take care of the patients, the victims who've gone through this. I've had many patients over the 20 years of my practice experience this problem. And the circumstances may be a little bit different, but the devastating, you know, emotional and physical consequences and the long-term effects are common. And so I'm so happy that more awareness is coming to this problem so that change can come. As well. So.
I agree with you. I think it started so many conversations, and especially as kids are going to college in the fall, I'm sure there are a lot of conversations happening with young men and young women in their home and amongst their friends and that kind of thing. But it seems like, well, what are the best things to discuss with your kids or amongst your friends if you want to try to make sure you're protected or as safe as can possibly be?
Well, I think there's a lot of helpful tools that people can use. The first thing is to understand that alcohol is associated with a lot of problems that women have and all students have in college. It's involved injury, alcohol poisoning, sexual assault. And so if someone chooses to have alcohol as part of their social life, they really need to be aware of what is their limit. And there is a tool, a blood alcohol calculator website that they can reference. They can go on there, plug in that they're male or female, what they weigh, what they're going to drink, how many drinks they'll have and over what period of time. And it will tell them their exact blood alcohol content so that they can know what is a safe limit for their body. Then they need to choose to stick to that limit. You know, Mayo Clinic talks about binge drinking being associated with most of the problems people have. So they need to know that binge drinking is a problem. That means they need to really stick to less than 3 drinks in an event. Unfortunately, there's a statistic that women who binge drink, 25% of those will experience sexual assault in that first semester of college. That is frightening.
Oh my gosh.
It's not their fault at all. That, you know, it's certainly the attacker's moral and legal responsibility. However, women can do things to protect themselves, and that blood alcohol calculator, website is perfect for that as a first step. So, if they're going to choose to have alcohol as part of their social life, they really need to stick to a limit.
Well, I guess that's the thing is that I think it's rather In a perfect universe, that wouldn't happen. But anybody who's been to college knows that alcohol is a big part of the culture. It's a big part of college life, no matter how you try to get away from it. And if you choose not to drink, it impacts your social life. If you choose to drink, it impacts your social life, right? So how so what is a way that young women can make themselves safe in a circumstance in which there's going to be drinking? I mean, obviously it's being aware of what that is, but it's also being aware of other kinds. I think there's other common sense issues that come into play here, because people react to alcohol differently, right? And so the idea that they, you know, there's one thing to be passed out. There's a whole other situation where you get involved in something that you believe is, you know, starts to be consensual and then ends up being non-consensual. And I think that's a very common,
that's too. A
big percentage of what we're talking about here.
Well, you know, there's a number of things that women need to understand. First of all, you're never going to win a drinking game. Physiologically, you know, alcohol is processed differently in a woman. And a lot of times at a party and there's flirtation going on and drinking games become part of it, and several times that leads to some of the trouble. So avoiding a drinking game, and why will they not win, is one, they weigh less, typically. Two, they have a higher fat content, which is involved with the metabolism of alcohol. Three, there's a different amount of alcohol dehydrogenase in their stomach lining, so that's what processes the alcohol, and men's work more effectively. And then fourth, their hormones are at different amount in their cycle will affect the process of the alcohol. So going into that party, avoid the drinking games. Two, form a buddy system so that if that guy is saying to you, hey, let's go back to my room and drink, and the girl doesn't understand, he's actually saying, let's go back to the room, drink, and then have sex. If they can understand what they're saying, understand that before they go, and then form a buddy system so that no girl gets left behind. So here, she'll intervene when the girl says, oh, I'm going to go because maybe she's had a drink, her guard is let down. She doesn't really understand because she's inexperienced, she's young, she's just gotten to college and doesn't really understand what's happening. That buddy system's in place so that, you know, you can intervene and say, hey, you know what, if you really like this guy, you can talk to him tomorrow when there's not drinking. And the same with him. If he likes you, well, you know, he can text you tomorrow. So
that's an excellent point right there. Where the guys come into this is that guys have to be very careful about what they're choosing to do here, too, because it's one thing. I know that there's a lot of social pressure, too, in college amongst men, to young men, to, you know, to be as promiscuous as possible and tell their buddies and their friends about what they did, and you know, to witness each other in that kind of that role. And the problem is that there can be, and I think guys have to be just as careful if they get involved with a, you know, they're drunk, the woman's drunk,
sure,
and then the next thing you know, they're fooling around. And even if it seems like an okay moment at that point, when everybody wakes up, that circumstance can change. And guys can find themselves in situations that they didn't understand.
Absolutely.
Right? And this idea that you cannot get consent or give consent when you're drunk becomes a legal premise for them.
Yeah, definitely. And so it's controversial about how do you actually prove that there's been consent? And so that, you know, that is, people have asked that in the office. Do I sign something? There's some places that say you should sign something. Some schools are requiring that beforehand.
Yeah.
You know, that's a challenge.
Yeah,
you know?
That's very unrealistic, right?
It's unrealistic. So I think for young women, what I would, you know, I've written a book, The Gynae's Guide for College Women, to give them to read, to give them some tools in advance, and I started these college prep workshops so that we can actually talk about these issues, including consent, and what does that mean exactly, and then how to say no. You know, I find with my patients who've had trouble, who've had sexual assault, who've, you know, who've had alcohol poisoning, and you say, you know, didn't you know about this before in high school? Didn't you talk through this thing? They oftentimes tune out the information, and they don't really know how to say no. You know, they want to say no. They're in this new situation. They want to make friends. They want to fit in. They've never had this situation before. They think they know what it's about, but they really don't know till they're in it, and they have a hard time getting themselves out of a bad situation.
Right.
And so we work through that at these workshops. I have college guys come in, you know, Michigan State and Marquette University, for example. College guys came to the workshop, and they role played with these young women. Hey, you want to do shots? They'll say this to the girl, and she'll be like, well, maybe they'll say, no, that's not going to work. Use this sentence. The key thing is to have a sentence in place ready to go that you can use. You can practice it in advance and get yourself out of a situation. And so many times young women want to get themselves out of the situation, and they just don't know how to do it. And that's something I think is really important, to think of those sentences before you get to college. Practice them so you're confident saying it. No, I don't want to do shots last time I threw up. No, I don't want to have sex with you. I'm not ready. Be able, whatever you're going to say, just have it ready to go and say it with confidence when the situation arises.
Right.
It's good advice. Yeah. I guess we shouldn't make it sound like you're supposed to not drink in order to prevent, just to make sure you're not a victim of rape, because rape is a crime, and drinking, if you're of age, is not. But I understand the buddy system, and that you need to have that conversation about when you have had too much and it becomes difficult to make the right decisions your own safety.
But underage drinking in college is so common, though. I mean, you go to college and I'd like to see the school that's actually been able to enforce non-underage drinking, right? I mean, that's not going to happen. And I don't think that's again, we deal with what's realistic and what's not realistic here. And it does, and I would add to this that it's the guy's responsibility as much as the woman's, responsibility to look out for her own safety. Guys have to look out for this too. They got to think about what the other side of that coin is if this goes wrong, because a guy can be completely believing that he's got consent, he's everybody's on the same page here, and then find out later that he is not. And that is so you have to be able to make decisions about how really into this somebody else is. Right.
Well, and you have to remember that by law, you probably just discussed with Marcia Clark, you can't consent if you're intoxicated, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that? So I have a son. Yeah. He's in college. Yeah. I have daughters who are in high school. This is why one reason why it's so important to me, this whole topic, and as well as my patients for so many years. But I think, the main thing is most sexual assaults occur in a dorm, apartment, or a house. So the key is that you got to go home to your own dorm, apartment, and house. You need to get there safely, stick with your friends, because the risk is that whatever happens in that situation could be misconstrued. Maybe there is no consent. Why put yourself in that situation? Go home. And that's easy to say. I do recognize that. But with this, with what's happening and what's growing and the knowledge about this, I think more and more men need to, or families need to, educate their young men, their sons, about, is this worth it? Is the risk worth it that maybe there will be a misunderstanding? And you, as a good person, here, most men are not as hackers. Most men are good people, obviously, and they're just going to a party and navigating their way as well. But they need to be educated. And so since I've started having these workshops for women, a lot of them say you need to organize a workshop for young men. And I've looked into it. There's certainly the bystander awareness that could become part of this workshop, having a dialogue about what is, when the woman is saying this, maybe she's fumbling through it, but she's saying no, and no is no, And so role-playing with young women, the reverse of what we're doing is having a guy tell you, when the guy says this, what he's really meaning is this. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing would apply and be helpful to young men, is when the girl is saying this, maybe she's flirting with you and she likes you, but she's actually saying no. And I think that would be helpful to begin those workshops. And so I'm working on that.
All right.
And
if people,
tell us about it when
people
you do.
Want to, I know you've got some workshops coming up, but people should go to your website to get the dates and everything. What's the website?
It's called thegyneysguide.com. So gyne as in gynecologist. So thegyneysguide.com. Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Appreciate
Dr. Susan.
It. All right.
Thank you.
Coming up on the other side, we've got Rob Martier's news. Mm-hmm. And then Jedlee Surratt will be here. We got obviously an abrupt change in programming styles, but the Blackhawks have made their moves. It was the beginning of their moves in the offseason here, as we knew right up to the Stanley Cup, that's what occurs. We'll talk about what they did and what it means for the team next season. But first,